Welcome back, everybody, to the Temper Tantrum Podcast.
Yo, yo, yo! It's the exclusive podcast for hot men. We've got the Hot Men Podcast coming at you right now.
Isaac putting hashtag hot men on our social media posts have really given us a interesting audience.
Yeah,
to say the least.
But hey, it's an audience, so we'll take it. You know,
I guess. All right, so today is Saturday, March 6th, and we have a very special guest today. We have my good buddy, good pal, Brian Cisneros, otherwise known as Sine Wave Beats.
The hot man himself.
What's up? So we got Brian here. He is going to be our artist spotlight. Man, I can't talk.
Yeah.
And I haven't even had my Twisted Tea yet.
Oh, yeah. We forgot to clink to that, boys. Cheers.
Guys.
Episode 9?
To life.
Yes. Okay. So we have Brian. He has been making beats for a long time, and him and I go way back all the way to middle school, and him and I kind of grew up in high school really just resonating with our love for music. We were both kind of getting into recording and writing on our own. So every time we would get together, we would literally just talk about our music and talk about what's inspiring us. And Brian would tell me, hey, like, I realize I need an audio interface, and this is what an audio interface does. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's really cool. I actually just got one. And then we would talk about that. And he was pretty instrumental in helping me set up my first studio. And I kind of helped him with his just by recommending gear. And then when we were both kind of settled with our own setups, we would just open up projects and kind of dive into what we were both working on at the time. But anyway, Brian, what's going on?
What's up? Just chilling.
Yeah. All right. So let's kind of dive into your music, dude. So what is your newest release?
I'm set to release something hopefully this summer. Another beat tape. I'm going to name it Flow State.
Okay.
It's going to be heavily sample based. That's probably going to be the main focus on that.
So you really like pulling records and literally ripping samples from them, right?
I love finding old music and trying to put a new twist to it. I think that's like the very main thing that got me into making beats to begin with. Because I just fell in love with like Dr. Dre's beats when I was like in eighth grade. Like I remember eighth grade, I'm like walking through school, and it's funny because specifically like the Chronic 2001, which came out, I believe it was 1998, which is the year I was born.
Mm-hmm.
And I think at that time, regarding hip hop, it was mostly like Lil Wayne and Drake that were like popping like crazy.
Yeah.
And I think about it now and I'm like, why was I listening to stuff from like the late 90s and the early 2000s when everyone else was like on what was popping right then and there? And I guess I just had a love for like a specific sound. And then later on, I found out that those records were actually sampled from other records.
Oh, yeah.
Which kind of opened a whole door. And I realized that a lot of the stuff that we listen to, and not even anymore in just hip hop, everywhere in general, a lot of it is sample based. And I think it's so cool because I could walk around like at like Kroger or something and I hear something playing and I'm like, oh my God, like I've heard that sample before. And it's like the original song from like the 70s or something.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Yeah, that's so cool. And actually what you guys just heard at the beginning was one of Brian's unreleased beats, and that one was heavily sampled. So he pulled the sample and he used that. So
where'd you pull the sample for that one?
Okay, so for that one, I actually went to the record shop and I pulled this record and I got a stack. I listened to it and I heard the loop and it was like immediate. I was like, that's it. That right there. And like the guy at the counter finessed himself because he like opened it up and he looked at it. He's like, are you sure you want to get this? It has a lot of scratches. And I'm like, maybe I won't get it. So I just went home and I ripped it from an MP3 website. So that guy, I guess he was just trying to look out for me, but I would have bought it anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, I found it at the record shop. I just didn't get it. I ripped it off of MP3. But most of the stuff that should be on that tape will be direct stuff that I got
from a record.
From a record shop.
Nice.
And I think there's something so cool about going to the record shop physically, putting headphones on, digging, getting in your own zone, going to listen to a bunch of stacks of records and walking out with something. Walking out with something, maybe not walking out with something, taking it home, sitting on it for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
And that's pretty much the whole premise of the tape. It's going to be the whole state of flow in regards to just making music and just taking your time and just kind of letting it all flow together instead of trying to force something,
right?
Which is, you know, how I think music should be made, because you realize that you have the most fun whenever you're making something that you're not thinking about, is somebody going to like this?
Mm-hmm. That is 100% true.
Yeah,
you know, like sure. if you're making music to please a specific audience, then you're probably not going to be very happy doing it.
Yeah.
I mean, and even going last night, Jason and I probably stayed up until
it was about
one thirty, 2 o'clock in the morning, writing a new song that we had, and we're just like, is this going to sound good? Or like, is this going to,
that's the worst.
Is this what people will think is catchy? And then it's like, who the frick cares? Because we think it's catchy.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you start making music for other people, you lose the passion.
Exactly.
Yeah. And you know, you were talking about that whole flow thing. There's been a lot of times where I've tried to force myself to write whenever I did not feel creative.
That's like the worst.
At all. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And it only prolonged my burnout, because I do get burnout.
Seriously.
Oh yeah, and sometimes like I don't even want to pick up any of those guitars and play them, and I don't feel creative. Like, I just don't feel like writing. So I've been really trying not to force myself, mm-hmm. but it's hard mm-hmm. because I come home and I'm like, you know what? I should write, mm-hmm. but I'm not feeling creative.
You shouldn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's just so difficult though, because I know that there's actually stuff I need to do. Like, I need to finish mixing the Standards album. Sure.
Oh my gosh, dude! Yeah. When did we say we were going to read this side out? We said we were February.
Yeah, we said in February, and now we're a month past.
So. Yeah, that's why I say like I think this summer. I think.
Yeah, you think.
I don't want to give mm-hmm. an exact date, because then I put a deadline on myself, and then you feel that pressure, which completely goes against the whole flow state thing.
We actually did that.
Yeah.
So, funny enough, with our old project called Meet Me in the Meantime. You know Meet Me in the Meantime, mm-hmm. Brian. Shout out to Brian. He's been to almost every single live performance.
Dude, I still have one of y'all's shirt.
Wait, do you? Which one? Is it the Whataburger one?
The white one.
Oh, nice.
With the tree in the back.
Yeah.
Oh, we sold out of those.
We did, actually. Yep. We actually had people buy our merch. So, yeah, shout out to Brian. He's been to almost every show, and he even pulled up to a show with a broken collarbone or arm. What happened?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was hilarious.
I broke my shoulder.
Yeah, you want to talk about what happened with that?
Skateboarding?
I was just skateboarding really fast down a hill and just listening to really loud dubstep. So it was like, I thought I was the shit. I thought I was invincible, and I just kind of woke up on the side of the alley with my shoulder was like 3 inches over. I tried to pop it back into place too.
No, don't do that.
Dude, like, I feel like I have like a pretty good pain tolerance, and I was like, I'm just gonna pop this back into place and just continue on with my day. And I tried.
Not advise you doing that here.
I tried, and I was like, I think this is broken.
Yeah.
So I had to call the ambulance.
Yeah, so Brian, you know, he pulls up to a show. I don't think I knew at the time, actually. Or maybe I did. I don't know. But anyway, you still came with a sling on your arm.
I specifically remember standing on that stage and singing into the mic, and then looking over to my left, and Brian's sitting there in the sling, like kind of like bobbing up and down, jamming.
He's still headbanging. He's headbanging as much as he can.
I went to a couple shows like that, actually.
Yeah, you did. Yeah. I think you went to a rave like that.
I did. People kept on going, good job, and it like hurt, and that was like pre-surgery.
Ooh. You had to have surgery?
Yeah, I had surgery, dude.
He called an ambulance, actually.
Oh, dang, bro.
Yeah, well, I remember because you actually wrecked a few streets down from my parents' house when I was still living there. And I was like, bro, why didn't you just call me?
Right. I know.
Right.
Well, it's because, like, I don't know if you think I'm such a calm person that they didn't, like, I wasn't fazed, man. Like, I was just like, well, this kind of sucks. Like, you know, like, what should I do? Because, like, one of the worst things you can do in that situation is freak out.
True.
And I think one of the worst things you can do in any situation is freak out, because it never helps. Right. So if you keep a calm demeanor, you're not going to feel the pain.
True.
You know, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, throwing it back to your music, like, you are just a lo-fi guy.
Yeah, the thing is that I love really loud, like, gross sounding, like, dubstep.
Yeah.
And then right after I can listen to, like, some really chill, like, kind of lo-fi stuff, which is the stuff that I'm into.
Like, listening to the album that you just latest release in 2020. It's like, you know that picture on YouTube of the chicks?
He actually has 3 releases in 2020.
Well, I'm talking about his main album, the biggest one.
Wake Up?
Probably the last one.
Yeah, it was the last one. I'm sorry, but I can't remember.
I remember your Wake Up release the most because I think I listened to a lot of those earlier demos that you showed me, and I remember when you commissioned that album art. Yeah. You actually gave me a copy of it. Yeah. I still have it.
I'm talking about Textures.
Yeah. That was the last one, yeah.
So what, you know, like what I picture your sound is, and this is just probably because I'm not too deep into your genre.
Yeah.
Like, it just brings me back to sitting at my desk doing homework or doing something and then getting on YouTube and looking at that chick who's doing, you know, that lo-fi, the 24-hour lo-fi girl.
Chilled
beats and stuff like that. You know, that's what it brings me back to. And I appreciate yours a little more because, you know, obviously because it's you and, you know, Brian, you've always been a homie with us. But also, I don't know, like your passion, you show it like astronomically in your music. And also like when you talk about it and when you perform, like when we had this house show, I don't think we've ever told this story before.
No, we haven't talked about this on the podcast at all, but was it 2017, 2018?
Something like that.
Yeah, way back then. Okay, so obviously Isaac and I, we have a lot of musical friends. Like I had, at that time, I had at least 4 of my own projects going on at once. And that was basically Stanridge in its infancy with Isaac. Like I mentioned before, Isaac and I started with acoustic indie stuff. And then when we kind of branched off into alternative rock, we actually formed a group called Meet Me in the Meantime. I actually don't know if we were called that at the first house show.
No, we were at the first house show. We were Meet Me in the Meantime. Okay. I remember we didn't have our bassist, so we used our drummer's brother-in-law.
Yes.
That was ridiculous.
Okay, so the whole point is we threw this house show at my parents' house. I paid my parents to get lost.
Brian's laughing. Do you remember our drummer?
Yeah, man.
Okay. We'll talk about that later. But I basically paid my parents to get lost, and I gutted my parents' living room. We cleaned it out, and we put like trash bags on the wall, basically. we put like a black tarp all over the walls, and I invited all my music friends to come by, and we were just going to play music until like late night,
and we did.
And I tried to warn my neighbors, but none of them would answer the door. So I was like, "Oh, sorry." So we would literally have a whole concert at my house, and you know, we featured Brian.
Even people we didn't know came.
Yeah, so the first one was like all of our invites only and a few other people from word of mouth.
I would say it was about 15 people.
15 people, not including the performers. Right. I think we broke
around 20-ish. But the next one, we were easily at like 50 people.
I think we were at 60 plus.
Yeah, wow. We packed that house out, dude. This small house, not small, you guys got your house growing up in, it was pretty decent size. But this house in the colony, this quiet suburb neighborhood.
Off of Standridge Drive.
Shout out to the band name now.
Dude, you know what's funny? I was driving down that road and I saw the name and I'm like, oh my God, that's where they got the name of the band.
You know, Jason's actual street is Pear Ridge.
Yeah.
We almost thought about calling our band Pear Ridge.
No, that's a lot more lame than Standridge.
Standridge is a lot more punky and edgy.
But anyway, we threw the show and it kind of grew exponentially. And we actually brought Brian on, and what he did, he built his own set from scratch where he would have a backing track and he'd play beats. You killed it, dude.
I feel like I had like maybe it was a day to 2 days for me to make that and like learn how to do it and then perform it. Like, dude, I was like grinding for the whole day before, just like doing it over and over and over. Cause I did not have a set. Like I did not have any songs. I didn't have anything. Like I had some stuff that I had played around with and I just put it all together in like a 24-hour time span.
You did good.
It was so good.
There was a lot of stress though. So don't worry about you being stressed, because
I had to actually play the guitar that show. So imagine my stress. Yeah. I cannot play the guitar worth a crap and sing at the same time.
I can't believe you actually did that. You did that for the first one and we did not let you do that again.
No, we didn't do that.
I don't remember it being bad, though.
I'm not saying it was bad. I'm just saying we didn't let him do it again. Because Isaac wanted the, hey, ladies, look at me. I'm playing guitar and I'm singing about someone from Oklahoma.
Is that true?
Yeah, it's pretty true.
Yeah. No, but I remember specifically being very stressed out because I felt like I was running the show and I had to make sure everything was right. And I remember a few things were annoying. Like, Brian, you were helping us gut the living room, and you were moving furniture, and you banged my parents' wall. And
did
you put
I?
And you put a crack in the wall.
Did I?
You did.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, you totally did. And I was like, oh, freaking great.
Really?
My parents were there, and I remember making sure we all had our own equipment, mm-hmm. that everything would work. I remember technical difficulties. I remember you didn't have a cord for your laptop.
Dude, my computer cord, the one that connected the AC cord, mm-hmm. it broke literally the day before when we were setting up.
Yeah, gosh. So it was the day before, and you were stressing out, and that stressed me
out. I went
out
to like three different stores.
No, that was the day of.
It was the day of, yeah, and I went to like three different stores. I went to like two different Best Buys and a Target, and I finally found it. Thank God.
Yeah, but that stressed me out, and then I had an entire set for a specific project, not any of y'all, but it was my other metal group that night.
What was it?
We did not rehearse at all. And our drummer, Alexis, that
poor, who's our drummer now,
that,
too,
that
as
poor
well.
Boy. Yeah, he's our drummer for Sandwich now.
That poor boy.
That poor boy. He worked that day, and he didn't get off, even though he knew about the bash like a month in advance. He did not get off, and he did not rehearse that set. So we played that whole set winging it by his memory.
Well, that tells you about his skill.
I guess. Yeah. I mean, we pulled through, and it was actually really fun.
I remember banging, like headbanging my head off.
Oh, yeah, and like a huge reason why I wanted to do that night was so we could all collaborate together. Like, Isaac, we actually had you on a metal track for one of the projects.
Yeah.
We had the other metal vocalist on the other metal acts thing.
Yep.
And I wish there was more of a way we could have incorporated you, Brian. I think we actually talked about doing that, but we never did.
Yeah. You know, Brian, I've been actually thinking about this a lot. Like, there's a lot of new age sound when it comes to our genre of music. Jason and I's like the punk alternative rock. There's a lot of technical and technological sounding beats that are coming into this. Like, I thought it would be so cool if we actually collab with you sometime.
Yeah, we could totally do that.
Be so sweet.
Yeah, for I actually sure. want to collab with you on a lot of my projects. It would be cool if we could find something for Sandridge, maybe. But 100% my other side project that I just released, I really wanted to collab with you because it's
totally
literally, it's prog rock where we actually have like electronic beats, and I want to throw you in and make a song that's more centered.
Yeah, we can make something sick, man.
Yeah, that'd be really fun. Okay, so anyway, Brian, everyone go check him out. He's Sine Wave Beats. You can find him on anywhere you can find music, right? Spotify, yeah. Apple Music, anywhere. Just go check him out. He has several releases with more to come. He's got like a lot of flavors of beats, and he has a collaboration with another artist called The Unemployed.
And
there are some killer tracks there. So everyone go check him out, give him some support.
What are your socials, Brian?
Instagram is gonna be Brian C BryanC.beats.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, go follow him on Instagram. He puts out content of him just playing beats and stuff. So
yeah, and then Apple Music, Spotify, just search Sine Wave Beats.
Yeah, everything.
SineWave.
Yes.
Okay. Beats. Yeah. Awesome. Awesome.
All right. So everyone, we just want to say thank you for listening to the podcast. We actually broke over 100 listens on our podcast, and we've slowly grown despite not really trying to promote as much. So thank you everyone for listening.
Yeah. If you're new, our heart's out to you. Thank you so much for listening to two stupid guys in the middle of a bedroom talking about dumb stuff
and putting it on the
internet. Thank you for liking us. We really appreciate it. So we're going to move on here to the tangent of the week.
Well, real quick, if you guys want to reach out to us for any reason, if you want to hear us talk about something or just tell us that we suck, you could email us at tempertangentpodcast@gmail.com or at temper_tangent on Instagram. You can DM us, email us, whatever.
Please. If you want to fight us, fight us. If you actually hate us and tell us that we suck, we're going to bring you on.
Yeah, and tell us why, and then we'll have a whole segment as to why our podcast sucks.
Yeah, there
That'd
we
really
go.
Fun. So before we get to the tangent, we have one message for our sponsors.
Yep, we'll be right back.
All right, we're back. Thank you, Anchor, for sponsoring this podcast.
Cool. Thank you, Anchor. Now, Brian, moving on to our tangent here. We're still going to talk about you. You're not you're not off the cuff yet.
Gotcha.
So you're not getting away that easily. With this new album that you're writing and the albums that you've previously wrote, and you know, we can tie in with Jason and I here as well. Because we're musical, we can all share a sense of how hard it is to get something going, you know?
Yeah.
Like, just trying to get a song together can be one of the hardest things I've ever done before.
Yeah. You know? I think that's one of the things that I noticed, because I remember when I started, like when we were in high school, like we talked about, I think there were people around me that kind of saw what I was trying to do and they were like, "Ooh, I would love to do that." Right. But I would say maybe 1 out of 10 people, y'all being the 1 out of 10, would actually go and do it, because yeah, I don't think that people really realize what it is to completely like make a track by yourself
for sure
from
for
scratch. Sure. Yeah. If like with me, I didn't know anything. Like when I started, I knew nothing. All I knew is that I loved beats and I was just determined, like, I'm going to learn how to do this. Like, I'm going to learn how to program drums. I'm going to learn how drums work. I'm going to study music.
Dude, I remember you going through that. I remember like you trying to figure everything out back then, and you did.
You know what? The very first thing that I ever did was go through a journal, and I would write down songs that I really liked and what I liked about them.
Ooh.
So I would write, "Oh, I really like how the chords sound in this one, or how like the snare sounds in this one, how it like punches through the mix and it kind of slaps you in the face." It's kind of stuff like that, you know?
Nice. Yeah. No, it's what I'm basically trying to get off of this is there is so much that incorporates into your music from inspiration, you know, and you can open up a can of worms, because honestly, because like you could be walking down the street and you get slapped in the face by a leaf and you're like, "Oh frick, I could write a song about this," like, or you know, literally anything could be inspiration.
You know,
that
what
we can draw from.
That's funny, because I've literally used like ambient stepping on leaf sounds, especially in that last tape.
That's so sick.
Like, there's a little undertone. I can't remember exactly what song, but in one of those songs, like, there's just, like, this little atmospheric clip that plays out through the whole thing, that somebody stepping on leaves. And I think that it's little stuff like that that people don't think about.
Right, right.
Like, you hear it and your brain registers it, but you would never know it's there. So it's funny that you mentioned the leaf.
And it's funny that you say that, because I actually just, I'm working on a track right now for a side project where it's very much themed based off of landscapes and a journey of like going through multiple places. And there's a song where you hear like forest ambience, and then it just goes into this really rocking song. I'm so pumped for that to come out. But I literally just did that like a few weeks ago.
Adding ambient tracks can add something else to your track, even if people don't know it's there.
Because
I've definitely used like streams, leaves, like city sounds, or
Like, I've heard the city one.
Yeah.
The city one's really dope.
Yeah.
I love that. Actually, I wrote a beat when we had that Texas ice apocalypse a few weeks ago, and I was working from home. I just made a beat, but the background ambience I used was a film projector rolling.
Oh, that's sick.
And I titled it Noir, and I wanted to throw in some like classic movie quotes.
That's a good idea.
I ripped a quote from Casablanca and I threw it in there. I'm just going to give it to you, and I'm going to let you do it, because I'm not the beat guy. I'm just the guitar guy.
Yeah, we can make that happen.
That'd be fun.
Sure. I love that. I love little clips. You know what? I found out that in my favorite albums, my favorite mixtapes, there's always little random bits and pieces from random things scattered about it.
Yeah.
After the songs or before the songs. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite artists, Mac Miller, he did that a lot, especially in his mixtapes. After the songs, he would have like this really random thing from like a movie or something, but somehow it pertained to the theme of the tape, which I thought was so cool, because he was pretty much just taking everyday life things and he would like put them into the project.
Yeah, that's awesome.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And you wouldn't really know what it was talking about unless you listened to the whole thing full length and kind of got a scope of what was actually happening.
Yeah, for
rest
sure.
Rest in peace, Mac Miller.
Yeah, rest in peace. But you mentioned everyday life things, and I would have to say that 95% of what I've incorporated lyrically into my music with Jason is from everyday life stuff.
I can't say enough.
Like we were talking about this last night, Jason. It's like we have this cycle, and it's the stereotypical punk thing, you know? It's hilarious. But one of us goes through a heartbreak.
Yeah.
And I think the first time that Jason and I have ever, no, for sure,
yeah,
the first time Jason and I have ever written music was when I was going through a breakup with my high school relationship. And then
and I was feeding off of him big time, like vicariously. We were writing stuff together, and like I felt such a drive within me to write with him because it was almost like shared heartbreak. And we were just putting everything together.
It's like somehow we were like we felt each other's emotions. And
well, yeah, it was very something. It was something very interesting that happened there. But like what you were saying, how it was a cycle. It was like we did that for a long time, and we pumped out a lot of music
solely off of my heartbreak. And then
I went through heartbreak.
We're kind of running dry a little bit on the inspiration, Jason goes through heartbreak, and then I literally write vicariously through Jason and through what exactly his emotions are.
He has, and it's great for me because not only does that drive me to want to also write for the music,
right.
But also it makes me feel good that I'm getting that emotion out.
And then you know? after Jason's all good, and then he's not experiencing heartbreak anymore, I go through, you know, my relationship stuff. Mm-hmm. And we write more music about that, and then. Now and it's just a bunch of crazy stuff.
I think I should hurt you just so we can write more music.
No.
Because I have some writer's block right now.
We get our music solely off of pain, of our emotional pain.
Brian, can you punch Isaac in the face so I could write a good track?
I'll write some lyrics about it.
Like a punch track.
Yeah, is there
a punch track?
That'd be dope. Throw it for a breakdown.
One of those like old, for the Bruce Lee era.
Yeah, that's hilarious. What were you going to say, Brian?
I was going to say that throughout the whole time that I've been making music, or I guess more so in the past like 2 years, I realized that what it really is about what is happening at that time, or what was happening to you at that time. Like, for example, that last tape that I released, I was just in my backyard. It was like a bright sunny day, and I realized that I had put so much emotion and so many memories into that tape that only I would know about. And right. I realized that kind of added to me another layer to the tape. And I realized mm-hmm. that it was something completely different that I didn't necessarily intend for it to be. Like, I realized that I had put experiences into it. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And it's kind of like a time capsule. And sometimes like other people aren't gonna know. People can pull their own things from it, you know? But I think that, you know how like you try to get to a certain point with your music, and you get to a certain point and you realize that, okay, like say you get like this many listeners and it feels good, right? And then anybody listens. Exactly.
Yeah.
And then you're like, okay, what if I can get double that? And you kind of just never satisfied because you get to a certain point and you're just like, okay, on to the next thing. And you realize like, what's the point? And you start thinking about it, and you realize that the point is when you're making the music and when you're experiencing all the experiences that you're putting into the music.
Right.
So it's not about what's to come. It's about what's already happening.
Yeah.
And I think that I've heard that from a lot of people that have quote unquote made it. Mm-hmm. But I feel like if you're happy with your music, even if it's just for you, I feel like you've already in a way kind of made it, because at the end of the day, it's about you and yourself and what's happening. And I think that's one of the best things I've pulled from this whole thing, is just like, okay, what's happening to me now as opposed to what's gonna happen to me later.
Right.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever really had too much of the mentality of writing for other people.
No.
I mean, I have thought of like, okay, people who like this genre, they're gonna really like this part that we're writing right now. Like, I've definitely thought that. But as far as like the material, it's always just been what I think is cool or what I like.
That's what it should be.
Oh yeah. And I think Isaac, in the material we've written, it's largely just kind of been like that, at least for me.
I think the best stuff comes out like that.
Oh yeah.
Because usually, okay, so I watch beat breakdowns on YouTube, right? And a lot of people, most of the time, if it's like a hit, they were like, yeah, I wasn't even thinking about it. It was like, I made the bulk of it in like 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then I had no idea that it was going to blow up, and it blew up. And you know, it's on the radio. It's like
the one Stanridge single we have out. I don't think we really thought of it. But that actually got a lot more attention than what we thought it did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure.
I think we're almost at 2,000 listens, like over 2,000 listens.
Actually?
Yeah.
Dude, I haven't been keeping up with it.
And it hasn't really blown up that much.
I don't think you should. I don't think you should look at the numbers. I don't think you should ever look at numbers.
It's easy to get caught up in numbers. It really is.
And I think it's easy to compare yourself to other people and what's happening with them.
For sure. Yeah.
But I guess my point was, all the numbers really came from YouTube. and from online communities.
Yeah.
Because we also toss our music on Reddit and some other forums for no particular reason. Like, other members of our band did that. We didn't tell them to do that. They just did it. Mm-hmm. And these small internet communities really grabbed the song. Yeah, and they were cool. apparently jamming it a lot.
If somebody likes it, they're going to like it.
You know right, what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah,
they should like it because they like it, not because they're forced to like it.
And that's what drives that kind of, it's almost like a greed in a way. Like, you're like, okay, people like this. Mm-hmm. I'm going to make more people like this. Right. You know, I want to soar to the top, you know, it's a cycle that it puts you in when you start making music.
You're never going to be happy if you're just looking for the next thing, because once you get to that next thing, it's going to be like, oh, what about this thing?
Oh yeah.
And then that thing.
For sure.
Totally. And it's just an endless cycle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Brian, I remember us like really talking about this in high school.
A lot. And we talked about it a lot.
Yeah, in between us just being stupid. Remember that time where we were dumpster diving in high school?
Yeah. Well, tell them why, because...
No, I'm going to leave it at that.
No.
No. I don't think I know this story.
You know what? I actually don't remember why we did that.
We were looking for supplies.
Supplies for what?
For living.
No.
In the dumpster.
Brian needed a new shirt, so we went dumpster diving.
Wait. Which dumpster we're at in the colony? Because that's going to tell you. That's going to tell me a lot.
It was... You know what? I actually can't remember for the life of me. It was for some project. Yeah. We needed cardboard.
It was cardboard. We were in the dumpster. We went to the recycling bin.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I should probably...
Jason,
you made it sound so much worse.
Over-exaggerating it. Just a couple of high school guys dumpster diving after school.
Brian, his shoes were getting roughed up, so he needed a new pair of shoes. We went dumpster diving. No,
that's where he gets all of his musical equipment from.
Right.
From the dumpster. Yeah. That's why his beats sound natural.
That's as lo-fi as it gets.
Yeah. You can't get more lo-fi than dumpster equipment.
Right?
Dumpster music. That's Stanridge right there, dumpster music.
Nah.
I'm joking. No, but I think, we jumped into the recycling bin for some project in high school, but it was a funny memory. I think I found that video the other day.
Yeah, there's a video.
It was like cheerleaders in the background, and we were just in the dumpster grabbing stuff.
Why were there cheerleaders?
They were outside practicing. No, the cheerleaders weren't in the trash.
The cheering you on dumpster diving?
No, not like that. No, that's a funny story. And then Brian and I... we were in culinary arts together in high school.
Yeah.
And that's where we would talk a lot about our music and we would catch up and stuff. But man, we destroyed that kitchen.
We did. Shout out Miss Coder. Yeah. If you're listening, Miss Coder, we love you.
She would not be listening.
She would probably never be listening to this.
That is so funny, though.
I have her on Facebook.
You do?
Wait, actually?
Just send her the link to this podcast. That'd be so funny. I don't think she's at the Colony High School anymore.
No, she's not. Mm-hmm. She was the best, though. That class was the best class I ever had.
Yeah. Didn't you say you got a job through that class?
Well, not through that class, but
We don't need to talk about work here if you don't want to. So.
I mean, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, for like employers, because, you know, this is on the internet. Who knows who's listening?
Bro, if I can't be myself for an employer, I probably don't want to work for them.
Oh, there you go.
So, I have a corporate job, so I have to worry about what I say on the internet.
Yeah, we have legal disclosures.
Yeah.
Oh, damn, y'all are official.
Huh? Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, go on.
I learned enough in that classroom through all the BS we used to do to put into an actual job, which I was at for 4 years. And while I was at that job, I was like, man, I learned a lot more than I thought I did.
In culinary arts. Yeah.
In culinary arts, yeah. But no, it was cool. It was fun.
I just have these vivid memories of... Sorry, I'm just thinking of these. Like, we have so many memories from that class. We would literally not do anything. And we were known... We were known as, like, the group that would not do what we're supposed to do.
Dude.
So the teacher would literally just be okay with it, and she would actually talk to us, like... Me and Brian were actually trying on a dish.
We
actually made it good.
We would.
But this other guy in our group, he missed, like, I forgot what we were making. It was like lemon chicken or something. He misread a measurement, and he basically dumped lemon all over this chicken.
Dude.
So, and he burned it. I don't know why we put him on stove duty, but he burned it, and he literally smothered it in lemon. And I remember we had to taste test it before we gave it to the teacher to give us a grade because she was going to eat it.
Oh.
So we tasted it and we're like, dude, this is just lemon. Like, this isn't even chicken. It's just lemon.
It's not. It wasn't chicken with lemon. It was lemon with chicken.
Yeah. And so we were like, what the heck happened? And we turned to the other guy in our group. Yeah. It was your cousin, right?
Yeah.
We were like, what was the measurement you did for the lemon? And he told us it was like 4 times more than what it was supposed to be. Like, instead of like one tablespoon, he did like 1 cup. And
I remember it was about presentation too, because like, you know, it's about presentation.
Yeah.
And I remember she was taking pictures, and it was like, we knew we weren't gonna do good. Yeah. So I think we slid a $5 bill.
I forgot, like, we set the plate down and we basically had the $5 bill like barely peeking out under the plate, and we're like, oh, what's that, Miss Coder? And she like lifted up the plate, it was a $5 bill, and she's like, you guys get out of here.
She took a picture of
it. Did she take the $5 bill?
No, she gave it back, but it was funny.
She thought it was funny. You know what's crazy about that? We did so much BS in that classroom and we never really did anything, but she let us get away with it.
Yeah, she did.
Those are the best teachers,
and
man.
And she would actually like talk to us.
Yeah, like she liked us, she would actually like talk to us, like from like more of like a friend standpoint rather than just like a teacher.
We would talk about life and ask her questions about what's happening in life, and cool. It was great. And I'm trying to think of other memories, like I was holding a broom one time and Brian goes, hey Jason, batter up.
Yeah,
and throws a chunk of ice at me.
Dude, that little compact ice you get at Sonic.
Yeah.
I made a ball out of it and I threw it at Jason and he hit it.
And I hit it with the broom and ice just goes everywhere. As soon as I hit it, the teacher was right there and she was like, what are you guys doing?
She was like, pick it up.
Yeah.
I thought we were going to get written up and sent to the office. She's like, pick it up.
And yeah,
like,
we just kind of picked up the ice.
You remember that one chick that's not... Let's not name any names. There was this one chick who would always get on to us because we weren't doing our stuff. And I would say some really smart alecky things like, oh, I'm sorry. Like,
who are you?
Yeah, who are you? Like, who are you to tell us what to do? And like, it would piss her off. And like, my cousin would laugh so hard.
Yeah.
He would laugh so hard. And I would love it because if he's laughing hard, then it makes me want to talk more shit. So I would talk more shit to her.
Egging you on.
Yeah. That was so much fun. I loved doing that.
Dude, I remember that. I was laughing so hard. And I keep remembering us going into the walk-in freezer and we would pick up these packets of meat that were really hard. And I don't know why. We were stupid kids. Yeah. But we would take these packages of meat and just throw them at the wall.
Yeah.
He would go into the walk-in freezer and throw meat at the wall? Dude.
Because we're like, look how frozen this meat is. Then we just throw it at the wall.
Stupid.
We brought the worst out of each other.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, like, that is the most high school thing I've ever heard in my entire life. That's so funny.
That was my favorite class. That was junior year of high school.
We were so comfortable in that class. Like, we could do anything. Like, as soon as you would walk in there, you knew, like, it's about to go down.
Yeah, I know.
Like, something's going to happen today.
You see each other walk across the room.
And we're like, hey, what's up? Like, another day.
I know.
Oh, dude.
Have first period and last period together that year?
Yeah, we did.
That's crazy.
Yeah, our last period I think was culinary arts.
That was the best last period ever.
Oh yeah, and that first period was the one where we went dumpster diving.
Oh yeah, it was
actually physics, right?
It was physics.
Okay, yeah. No, sorry. I know we're reminiscing a lot in high school, but I just have to point this out. This is one of my favorite memories from high school. So me and Brian, we were in our physics class together, and we had this project where we were supposed to build this structure that was supposed to withstand a fall. Okay, we were supposed to drop it from a staircase and drop. We had to put an egg inside of the structure. And we're supposed to drop the structure and basically get the entire egg intact and the structure intact. So me and Brian are kind of talking about like, what structure do we want to do? Brian goes, let's make a tesseract. If anyone knows what a tesseract is, it is a theoretical four-dimensional shape. Something that is not real, something that is like it's conceptual, like it's theoretical. That. It is not like
it has. He watched Marvel movies before school that day.
I don't know what I was thinking.
Brian's like, dude, let's make a tesseract, and I'm like, what do you mean? Is that even possible? He goes, yeah. Look at this Google image, and you showed it to me, and I'm like, bro, this is four dimensional. We live in a 3D world, Brian. Like, we can't make a four dimensional object.
I gotta pull up a picture of
bro,
it.
Bro, you right. never know unless you try, bro.
Yeah, so we basically got like these sticks of wood, and we tried to make a four dimensional object, and it did not work.
It looked sick, though.
Like this?
Yeah, we made that. We made that.
Okay, I mean...
So it's a cube inside of a cube.
Yes.
Basically, it's impossible.
No, it's not. We did it.
We failed the project.
We
dropped it and it exploded.
Did we fail the project? Did we fail the project?
Well, I think we passed because we just made the structure, but I remember we dropped it and it exploded. You remember the video?
Yeah.
We talked about this about 2 years ago. We were trying to find the video.
So the box in the middle was cardboard, and then the what's connecting the box inside to the outside box was a rubber band.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. I think it could have held up if we had used better glue.
And I remember, like, we kept going to Home Depot after class, and we would look for equipment, and we kept forgetting something, and we kept buying the wrong equipment.
Oh, my gosh.
So we were going to Home Depot, like, four times a week, and we kept, like, it became an inside joke. We're like, hey, man, meet you at Home Depot.
Yeah, bro. 4:30 Home Depot. Be there. Let's go. B-square. Oh, my gosh. We should have asked one of the employees, like, hey, we're trying to build the Tesseract.
Can you help us out, man? Come on.
I know, right?
Got any four-dimensional wood?
Now you got to write a song about a Tesseract.
I know.
Oh, my gosh.
We could probably write something about a Tesseract.
Yeah, we could do it.
I don't know. It's kind of weird.
Look out for the next Sandridge single called Tesseract.
The Brian Tesseract.
The Brian Tesseract.
Oh, man.
You
yeah.
That was make that school. Sound like super.
That was so much fun.
Oh, yeah.
Was that senior year?
That was junior year. Oh, I'm pretty sure. Well, I don't remember the Tesseract, but.
I think that was junior year.
Okay. What's up, Isaac?
Do you keep cutting in and out?
No, I don't think so.
I keep cutting in and out for some reason. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
You sound fine.
Thanks, okay. Man.
Anyway.
I sound great. Yeah.
So, inspiration. Or high school. We're on high school now.
Oh, my. No, I don't.
Tangent has taken us.
Okay, wait.
High school was the worst.
I want to ask, what if you could say, oh, that's kind of hard. Okay. Give me four pieces of music that got you through high school.
Oh.
Whether they be like just songs or albums or mixtapes.
High school. Go ahead, Isaac.
Okay, I would say that I was just a generic music listener until I met Jason.
Really?
You know what I mean? Like,
I know
where I
mean.
Don't have a specific genre that I just freaking love, but I really like just listened to music and I was like, oh, hey, that sounds cool. I mean, I was under the influence of like the normal radio stations, like normal pop stuff, you know?
Right.
But I still had that kind of draw to more rocky, punkier stuff. I remember listening to a lot of 80s rock my first couple years of high school. That's like what I listened to a lot of. And obviously I was influenced by like I listened to a lot of Drake. That you know, that was popular in high school times, and Take Care album and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But then once I really met Jason, that's when it kind of skyrocketed my interest in punk music, metal music, and all this kind of stuff. And that's really how I have my listening now. If I had to name a few people, obviously it would be one, the Wonder Years.
Okay.
Do you know who they are?
I've heard the name.
Yeah, we've talked about them on the podcast a little bit. That's why I got this tattoo on my
okay. Is that a cardinal?
Yeah, it's a cardinal, yeah. man, I would Who else? I would say, who else did we listen to a lot?
Well, for me, the Wonder Years all the way through.
For sure.
I'm trying to pull up on my phone right now.
Yeah. Obviously, Atlas. 2016 Atlas. That was our senior year.
Yeah, jammed them a ton. I'm trying to find that. Apple Music does this thing where they, like, each year they have your most listened to songs. I'm trying to find
they?
That right now.
I had no, they did.
Yeah,
that.
I'm trying I to find
that was
it.
I thought that was a Spotify thing.
They don't do it like Spotify, but there's if you go to browse on Apple Music, mm-hmm. There's like this whole playlist they put together of your most listened to songs. But I don't know if I had Apple Music all the way back then.
No, I don't think Apple Music was a thing until like our senior year.
No, I was going to say, I know for sure I wasn't using Apple Music until after.
Yeah, no, I specifically remember like my sophomore year art class, I was using like this rip-off site to get my music,
God.
My MP3s.
That, yeah.
You know what I'm talking
Dude,
about? Like an app you could download.
Yeah.
Oh man, that was awful. I actually love subscription music services because
Me
of
too.
That now.
Me too.
You know, dude, yeah. Like holy cow. Not and now that I think about it, not only am I not ripping off artists now, because if you pirate music, you are ripping off the artist.
Yeah, that feels bad.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah. But it feels bad, but we all did it. And now that we're musicians, we're like,
yeah,
that kind of sucks.
Yeah.
Don't freaking do that.
The amount
if you,
of work they put into
oh my gosh,
a single
yeah.
song.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like, if I found out you were pirating my music, I would punch you in the face.
Dude, what's really annoying to me, like, how we are on our phones, like, we literally go through things so fast.
I know.
Like, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I have thousands of songs on my phone.
Yeah.
And how much, like, you just skip until you find something you want to listen to.
You know what's funny? You can have 1,000 songs on your phone, but you'll listen to the same 3 albums.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. That's no all doubt. I do, bro.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
But what I'm saying is, like, you know, when you skip to find a song you want to listen to, you're skipping over hours, months, years of someone's creative work. Isn't that crazy to think about?
And experiences.
Yeah, and experiences. And it's like, each song is just so unique if you think about what it took to get that into audio form. But, like, you know, the way that we are on social media and we're so used to scrolling and trying to find the best thing.
Our attention spans are, like, super low.
It's so low. So it's so hard to consume music that has depth.
Yeah.
There's a ton of music out there that has no depth.
Oh, yeah.
It's just stale, produced.
Pretty much.
Like, you could tell that there's not, like, a genuine experience in it.
Yeah.
Like, one thing, Brian, I remember you told me, Brian actually had access to Meet Me in the Meantime's unreleased singles way back in the day.
Oh, man.
And Brian said, I remember vividly one time, you were jamming them, and you said that you really liked some of the super old demos, when I think that they are
garbage.
Trash.
I honestly
garbage.
Thought they were hot garbage.
But Brian saw something within those raw demos that like you, I guess you felt the experience then.
You know why? I think it was the song Levy. I think
Levy or Zero Gravity.
It was Zero Gravity.
Zero Gravity.
He gave me the tracks to Zero Gravity and I mixed it. So I sat there for hours, and I know I sent it to him at some point. And there was like a part at the end where it went acoustic. And it was
You had the acoustic one.
Yeah, it was just you on the vocals, and I was like,
it was the first variation.
Yeah,
I
was like,
we were just getting out of our indie phase.
Wow. Yeah. Okay, so it had a little bit of punk, but then it went soft. That was a really old.
He really appreciated that, and he felt something.
It's like, this is a failure to launch, and I'm finally.
Yeah, I remember playing that live.
Oh my!
We would play that every show.
Yeah, that was one of the ones that people liked the most. And then also Levy.
I think the line was, I think it was, this is a failure to launch, but it was at the end where you were like, this is a failure to launch at the end. Because in the beginning, you put energy into it, and then the end, it was like you brought the energy down. And there was, I could tell in your voice that you meant what you had said. And I remember saying that to him, and I'm like, I absolutely love this one.
Man, I got
to
pull that up.
Yeah,
I still have it. It's on SoundCloud on private. Only Brian has it, and then only you and me have it.
It's on SoundCloud private?
It's on SoundCloud
private. Dude, we should actually play it right now.
Oh, gosh.
No, like, seriously. Like, let's play it, like, right now, just to listen to it. Yeah, the end of it. Like, see what Brian's talking about.
Yeah, see if you can pull that up.
Yeah, let's just play it right now.
I'm still alone. This is a failure to launch. And you better believe going to try again. I'm here with the stars, and this world didn't hold me back. And I bet you those birds are jealous.
Oh my god,
dude.
I like the song.
I almost want to shed a tear.
I'm with the stars.
I don't know what I was thinking. I'm going to tell you this right now as a disclaimer. I do not sound like that anymore. I'm glad I can say it. I do not sound like that
Brian
anymore.
Brian loves it,
I think,
dude.
It's fine, dude.
Yeah, dude. But you were there in that time period, dude.
Yeah.
You know the emotion. You knew all of the stuff that was going on.
I think
on.
You were with the stars, man.
Dude, those birds, man, they're so jealous. Chirpy out back, dude.
Chirpy, dude, that's why he's out here, man.
I actually realized what that sound was.
What is the sound?
It's my chair.
Is it really?
It is.
Bro.
I was mixing the other day, and I was writing, and, you know, I got that shaky leg I always do.
Yeah.
I was shaking my leg, and I heard that chirping. Yeah. Am I nervous?
Yeah, what's up?
Jason's constantly in a state of nervousness.
No, I'm just an active dude. Anyway.
Just chill out, bro.
just chill out.
Relax.
Chill bro, I can't, man. Just I can't
breathe.
Anyway, that song. Woo! That was
dude.
What? 2016.
That's when it started in 2016. Yeah.
Senior year.
Wow.
I knew nothing about mixing. I still know nothing about
That's
mixing.
That's 5 years ago, bro.
Yeah.
Five or 6 years ago. Wow.
It wasn't that long ago.
Isn't it crazy how we're still in touch? I mean, yeah. All of us, technically.
Yeah. I mean, I'm glad I have people still in touch, and I'm also glad there's not people I'm in touch with.
Before we even graduated, I had deleted a bunch of people from my social media.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because I was like, I don't never talk to this person in school. It makes me think that I'm going to talk to them ever again.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're right.
I kept some people, though.
Yeah.
We've got a lot of entrepreneurs in our class.
A lot of what?
Entrepreneurs.
Oh, entrepreneurs?
Got them.
Or
Jesus.
People who claim
or
to be
rap stars.
Dude, yeah. I've had people like there's one specific chick, again, nameless, right? Hit me up trying to join like her like little team or whatever. And I'm like,
oh, dude, you've got pulled into a pyramid?
No, I didn't get pulled in.
Okay, listen.
I immediately unfriended them again. I was like,
Brian, we have a podcast. It's titled Our Oils Are Essential.
Okay.
Go listen to that because we talk about that.
Literally, we literally talk about people from high school talking.
Did one of you get pulled into a scheme?
We've been tried to get pulled into a scheme.
We've had experience outside of people from high school, but
what do you know what the product was?
No, it was that Forex thing.
Oh, dude. I know exactly what you're talking about now.
Yeah. I don't know if how it works. I don't think it's necessarily a pyramid scheme.
No, it's not.
It's not necessarily a pyramid scheme.
We literally explained this in a podcast. Just go listen to it. But basically, Forex is a portion of the market that you could invest in. The problem is that people want you to join a team. And with that team, they make you pay for some class or some kind of like lesson.
Did she ask you to pay?
No. So what had happened was that she was like, hey, long time no talk. How are you? And I was like, it felt good because we used to be homies, right? And
yeah,
I'm like,
closer.
Oh, cool. Like, you know, this is cool. It's like a genuine like friend thing. And I was like, yeah, I've been doing pretty good, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, oh, what have you been doing for work during this pandemic? And immediately I was like, that is such a shady thing to ask for the third message that you send me.
Yeah.
And I went on her page and immediately I saw what she was into. And I'm like, I was like, unfriend right away.
Dude. You want to quit your 9-to-5? You want to join my team? You want to be woke?
Do you want to make money from anywhere in the world? Join my team.
You just got to be okay with earning $180 a month.
I don't even.
Okay, no. We actually didn't explain this on a podcast. Dude, I don't want to call anyone out. We're getting closer to people figuring out who this was.
It's perfectly fine.
Okay, so anyway, one of those people posted something on Instagram. It was a picture of a graph of your expected money each month if you do their program. But if you read the fine print, it says the average amount you earn if you do this structure or whatever is $200 a month.
Dude. Yeah, and people are just like, you know, manifest that you are out of this world, or like manifest and speak it into existence that you're going to excel, and then, you know, get checks and get paid, blah, blah, blah.
We read the fine print in the post she posted of her little graph and chart, and it said the average return for doing this is $200 a month.
The thing that I don't get is like, I get people want to like make money, but me personally, that was never a driving force for me. Like, I've never been like, dude, I want to make certain amount of money.
Yeah. It's because you're a humble guy.
Yeah, you're humble.
Thank you.
And you have value in actually putting in work.
Yeah, it's weird, you have value, bro. And you have things that make you happy that are genuine.
When people think like that, I'm like, what's wrong with you? Like, there's something else. Like, what do you,
mean? It's the influencer lifestyle, dude.
Dude, I'm glad you're saying this is not us, man. I think that's absolutely hilarious
I feel like you need to call people like that out, because it's like, if that's all you're looking for in your life is just like money. So that's so weird to me.
Dude, right. He should have been on that podcast.
He should have been on that podcast.
Yeah, we literally talked about that. Go listen to it. Episode 7?
Our oils are essential. That's the name of it.
You know what's crazy? I was listening to this podcast called The Blueprint the other day, and it's this guy who he was like a like artist promoter, right?
Right.
And he was just talking about how he made it, and you know the artist that he brought up. Like, this is the guy that brought up Ariana Grande, Justin Bieber.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
His first guy was like Asher Roth, who obviously didn't like really blow, but you know, he hit a certain market, and he had made he had set a goal. I want to make this much money. And his like agent called him and he was like, hey, we made this much money, whatever. And it was like surpassed what he had told himself. And he called his dad and he's like, hey, you know, I'm pretty much like the richest person in our family, blah, blah, blah. And his dad was congratulating him. And he was like, how do you feel? And he was like, pretty depressed. He's like, what do you mean? He's like, well, once he told me, I drove for like a couple seconds and I didn't really feel anything. And his dad was like, call me in 5 minutes and tell me what are the things that make you happy in life. And he called him back and he's like, this is going to sound really corny, but usually it's like when I'm playing ball with my friends or like when I'm just kind of hanging out or whatever, blah, blah, blah. And you learn something so important that all that money that he always wanted, that he made, he was like, that didn't mean anything to him once he actually made that thing. So that's why whenever I see people like that, I'm like, what are you going to, like, that's not going to make you happy.
We, at the conclusion of that podcast, we said
joy.
That we said that money could buy happiness, but it can't buy you joy.
Yeah.
And there's a difference between happiness and joy.
Yep. That makes sense.
Yeah. It's like, I'm happy when I get a new guitar and that costs money, but it's not going to bring me long lasting joy.
Yeah, that is totally different.
Yeah.
It's only temporary.
Yeah. Happiness is fleeting, dude. Like,
well, really, dude, you know, it's been cool. How long have we been going, Jason?
It's been about 55 minutes.
Plug yourself, bro.
Say your socials again and your name.
Honestly, my only social is on Instagram, and it's brianc.beats. And anywhere else you can find me, it's just on these streets, pretty much.
Yeah, if you find Brian out on the streets, he's a hot man just walking down on the
just
street.
Just give him $20. Just give him money if you run
if
into
you
him
find
on the street.
Me, you find me. If you don't, you don't. It wasn't meant to be.
So obviously, if you guys can't tell, Brian's a very genuine dude. He has a heart for music. He loves making music.
For sure.
He's going to keep making music. Hopefully, we'll get more collabs going.
We're shooting for the stars.
Yeah, we'll be shooting for the stars. We'll make those birds jealous, buddy.
No. But we've been out of touch for a while, dude. Like, let's keep connecting and let's get some more music out. So everyone go follow him. Go jam his music.
Yeah, what's the name of this new album you're releasing?
Next one's going to be called Flow State.
All right, stay tuned for Flow State.
Yeah, he'll be posting it on his socials, I'm sure. So
post him, tag us, tag Tipper Tangent if you listen to him, throw it on Instagram, tag Brian, share the world. You
Most importantly, vibe out.
Vibe out, vibe out with Brian.
Thanks, Brian.
All right, guys, thanks for listening to the Tipper Tangent podcast. This was this week's episode, and look forward to talking with you guys again. Thanks. Bye.
I slogan, do not mess with a brewing shit down in Texas. So far in the future, I'm already planning exits. Where these royalties are stacking, they matching with tile pieces. Got the pressures in the throat for my teeth. How long I've been setting on my motherfucking beats. It's Vegeta, Goku, the beats. Hear the fucking tire, I'm lurking out when they sleep. The tire screech pop pop like every time I pop off. Waiting for the drop off, but bitch, I keep swimming. No, my heart could be harder. We filled with diamonds, he's powder me. Pages, pottery, covering all this hammer for armories. Honestly, bitch, I just work at the day.